Ever since I had the privilege of sharing reflections 2 weeks ago with you at this Mass, the honor remains with me today to continue to do that reflection. And for the week afterwards, in preparation for Ash Wednesday, I couldn't get, if you remember, what my neighbor told me or asked me how I am really. And I had to respond with truth. And then I went on with this theme into Lent with not so much that question, but how am I really doing myself? And Lent's the time to take a look at that. And it's time to somehow come to reminiscence as I talked with the kids about life and what it's about. And I continued what I always do in preparation for a homily on Sunday. I always take a survey of people's thoughts about the meaning of Lent. And it's a good one to think of on the first Sunday of Lent, because here we are, right in the into the midst of Lent, right now, from Ash Wednesday till now, and now continuing. And it's very interesting, because the responses I got, most of these people were older people, but in their wisdom, they shared what Lent meant to them, and they reminisced about what it is in their personal lives and what they really need to do in Lent. And I got these answers. First one was, it's a time of examination of conscience. The second one was, it's a trip down memory lane. And the third one was the one I like best. It's becoming better at becoming good. Becoming better at becoming good. I like that one a lot because of the fact that it stresses the positive part of what Lent can be. It isn't just negativism. It's not just reviewing all sin, but reviewing also in a reminiscing way about the good that's part of us and the good we should practice and how we get better at that. The better we become with that, the less we sin and the less we give into weakness. So when I thought about all that, I thought, now, how's that going to apply with the scriptures today? And it really does, because it gives some direction to this becoming good, even if it comes from the reflection of where it is to be bad. And so when you review your badness, let's say, weakness or sinfulness, move on to what's good, because the solution is given in scripture about that. In that first reading from Genesis, for example, here we have Adam and Eve. And they were given life that was supposed to be perpetual. And yet sin entered the picture. Disobedience came to them. And as a result, they lost the privilege of this perpetual life with death that would follow. But it's interesting because it isn't left there. God still is waiting basically for the good that they could be. And he will bless that because he makes the promise, basically, I won't let you down. My love will always endure. No matter what you do, I'm there. I'm here. I'm with you. So keep practicing good. And that's kind of the instruction they were given. Second reading in Paul is very interesting because he deals with the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the very story we heard from Genesis. And he puts it very clearly, basically, that, you know, the obedience of Jesus is what you build your obedience on now, no matter what you've done. Come back to what Jesus did, because he was obedient to serve, to love, forgive, offer mercy. Accept that now and be obedient to the Lord. That'll help you with your weakness. And then, of course, the third reading, gospel reading, about the temptations of Jesus gives us a lot to go on because of the fact of what he went through in a human way. As we know, humanity has weakness, and he was giving that kind of strength that was given because he was overcoming that. His temptations were real. And it had to do, of course, with power, prestige, and glory, and all the things, even including pleasure, food that he could have. And yet he put it very clearly that he was obedient to the call he was given for salvation for us, for mercy for us, and for the love that never ends. So there's a Lenten kind of direction here for us. It's very clear to me from the scriptures and from our own knowledge and our own reminiscence that basically Lent should be a time to really build up goodness, to get away from the things that we know we have and we've got to contend with them of weakness and sinfulness, but that goodness needs to be built. The more you have virtue, the less we have vice. The more virtue in life overcomes those things that aren't good. And sometimes I think we concentrate too much on sinfulness and not enough on goodness and the gifts we have of that. The grace we receive right here, for example, today is so strong, there's no reason we can't continue in Lent with some new effort. Maybe it's overcoming bad habits, yes. Maybe it's doing some good that we haven't done by serving people. It's interesting because when I reviewed the readings this week from Ash Wednesday till the moment where we were told to turn away from sin and practice the gospel, well, this is where the solution was given. Practice the gospel message. And then the next day, Thursday, the readings had to do with choosing life. That's life with God, not just life basically that contends with all kinds of temptations. And then the Friday reading was fast. What is it to fast? It isn't just from food, although that's good to do. It's fasting from selfishness, getting away from that, and doing the good by what you do to serve others. And then yesterday, the reading had to do with the fact that here's a way to go. You know, there's a way to get through this, and that's to basically satisfy those that are hungry, satisfy those that are afflicted, reach out to other people rather than just being self-served. You know, when we get to that message, that's the good we should be doing. And every one of us have the talent and ability and the grace to do it. So I just think there's so much in Lent that can be done here. And if you haven't begun anything yet, start. Start by the good you know that's in you. And build up that, because that's going to be every avenue to overcome those things that are temptations. Jesus did it that way. We need to follow his leadership. Now, we might have to take some measures here because we got to face up to the fact that we got to overcome that evil stuff that's there. And we got opportunities for that. We do it here today by being at Mass. This is a beginning very much with the Eucharist because that's strength from God. But there's another way. And I won't be here this 9 o'clock Mass until the week, well, the Sunday after it happens here. And that's the value of the sacrament of reconciliation. That's a good. Not easy to do. To make a good confession's not easy to do. But the good that's accomplished by doing it far outweighs any of the pressures and tensions and anxiety it causes. And we're going to have that on Thursday, March 23rd. Mark that in your mind when you leave here today. March 23rd, big penance service. Confessions available right here. Approximately 12 priests that will be present. It gives you every opportunity to seek the good because you don't have to go after the good by talking to one of us that you know. You can find some stranger that comes in from the outside, this priest you've never seen before. And you can go into confession and talk face to face or otherwise. And if necessary, you can do it like everybody does. The good there, I always try to do, is may the Holy Spirit guide me in understanding that language. But that sacrament's a wonderful way to seek good. It isn't all bad because it's making you nervous. It's all good because it gives you the light and the grace and the direction needed to become better at being good. So let's keep that in mind. Let's continue in Lent. Let's begin today if we haven't done anything yet. Seek the good and become better. Let's stand and pray.